You have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. I read this psalm this week, and it was kind of the inspiration of the message for today. And I kind of read that in one sitting, and it takes a little while to read to that one because it's a little bit long. That's long as one in the Bible. And as I was reading that, I said, I wonder if some Sunday I just, instead of preaching, I just actually read that scripture and took the 25 minutes or so that it takes to read that. Maybe reading it out loud would probably take even longer than that. And that would be the message. But there's a lot of truth that is in that passage of scripture. And just to let you know, I'm not going to read the whole thing to you today. But I do want to read the first 20 verses to you and just talk about the wonderful truths of God's Word. And I am so glad for God's Word. And, you know, it's nice to have a real copy. I know we got the digital copies and very blessed with our digital copies because, you know, you have the YouVersion. If you have the YouVersion app, there is, I don't know how many translations are on that app that you can pair. And I can show you, I have another Bible in there that has four translations all in one book. It's pretty thick to do that with. And so glad that digitally you can get all of that and just a little app that you have on your phones. But so whatever you have, praise the Lord. We're to read it. So let's start with verse 1. It says, joyful are people of integrity who follow the instructions of the Lord. Joyful are those who obey his laws and search for him with all their hearts. They do not compromise with evil, and they walk only in his paths. You have charged us to keep your commandments carefully. Oh, that my actions would consistently reflect your decrees, that I will not be ashamed when I compare my life with your commands. As I learn your righteous regulations, I will thank you by living as I should. I will obey your decrees. Please don't give up on me. How can a young person stay pure? By obeying your word. I've tried hard to find you. Don't let me wander from your commands. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I praise you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. I've recited aloud all the regulations you have given us. I've rejoiced in your laws as much as in riches. I will study your commandments and reflect on your ways. I will delight in your decrees and not forget your word. Be good to your servant that I may live and obey your word. Open my eyes to see the wonderful truths in your instructions. I am only a foreigner in the land. Don't hide your commands from me. I'm always overwhelmed with a desire for your regulations. Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, it is such a blessing that we have your word so readily available to us, Lord, and certainly in our society, in this nation. And so, Lord, we are blessed. And I pray that, Lord, as we have received this blessing, that, Lord, we will be faithful to the blessing that we have received and be faithful to read and study and to follow your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So as I say, it just happened to be as I was reading in my devotional time, and reading through the Bible, I happen to come to that Psalm 119. And usually I kind of break that one up because it is kind of a long one, but I just kind of read the whole thing that day, and I was just being blessed and encouraged of the truths that are in there about the Word of God. It is definitely the chapter in the Bible that really, really encourages us to get into this book, the Bible. And every Christian needs to get into the Bible, into God's Word for themselves. It's important that we all read and study, memorize. And this chapter especially, you know, inspires us to be into the Word of God and to apply it in our lives. I was sharing this with Pastor Christopher this week about reading that psalm. And he shared with me a story. And so I'm going to steal the story before he shares it when he's speaking. And he referred to this, he told me this story about William Wilberforce, the British politician who was a strong force in getting slavery abolished. And he was a very strong Christian man. And one thing I didn't realize is that he had memorized this psalm, all 176 verses. And he would recite those verses every day that he went to the work of Parliament. He would recite this passage of Scripture each day as he went to Parliament, asking the Lord to guide him and to be with him in Parliament. And I'm saying, like, wow, isn't that something we need of our politicians today? If they would start reading the Scriptures, studying the Scriptures, and then as God speaks to them, they would then go to the rest of their parliamentarians and share what God is saying to them through the Scriptures. Now, you might think that's, you know, pie in the sky, that could never happen. Well, it did. Our nation of Canada was established on God's Word. Our name, the Dominion of Canada, was chosen because one of our parliamentarians, he was the Premier of New Brunswick, Samuel Tilley, was in his devotional time. And as he was in his devotional time and praying, and they were coming to that place of wanting to have a name for our nation, Psalm 72:8 came to him. And so he went back to the rest of them and shared Psalm 72:8, which says, "He shall have dominion also from sea to sea." And so from that passage of Scripture, they took the dominion of Canada with a motto, from sea to sea. And so even in our own nation, we've had politicians where God has been speaking to them, and then they bring that to Parliament and good things happen. We need that again, for sure. But another interesting thing is that about our own nation is that Scripture is widely used on our Parliament buildings. And there's over 25 verses of Scripture that are etched in stone and brass and glass on our parliamentary buildings. And, you know, as you think about that, how we need to get back to our roots. You know, there's a lot of talk about getting back to our roots. Well, nation of Canada, you need to get back to your roots and get back to the Bible and get back to the place that you're meeting in that is filled with Scriptures that you see every day subconsciously, even though you're not maybe looking for them. They are there and speaking. And, it was founded on the premises that the Lord will have dominion over this nation from sea to sea. And, we got to keep praying into that and pray our politicians get back to the Bible, get back to believing the truth, and getting back to our roots, because that's our true roots that we have as a nation. Now, I could go on that trail, which would be a really nice trail, but I'm not going to do that. Maybe that might be one of Christopher's messages or something. He may go down that trail. I just want to encourage you to get into this book. This book is so very, very important. And what we're finding in Christianity is that a lot of people are not getting into this book. They're leaving this book by the wayside. They're not studying Scriptures. Faith Today magazine, I just got that this week. And I was reading some of the latest stats about Christian faith in Canada. And one of those that caught my eye said that 54% of Canadians, so over half of Canadians, believe the Bible is just sacred writings that are only helpful accounts of ancient myths and are not literally true. That should disturb us all, that our society of today thinks this here is just nothing but a bunch of myths and ancient writings. Sacred writings they might be, but they mean nothing. 30% disagree with that. Only 30% of our population. And how we need God to move again. And, you know, when you think of that, there was another statistic, I think it was around 43% believe that modern science disproves the Bible. When you look at the study of the Bible, it is the most proven book in all of history and in all of the world. You know, sometimes when people make statements, you got to go back to, what's the source? What's the source? Are you qualified in what you're saying? Because modern science does prove that this book is true. Modern archaeology also proves this book is true. You prove that this book is true because you have opened up your hearts to Jesus Christ. And so this is a proven book that has changed lives throughout the history, still the bestseller in the world. So it's a powerful, powerful book. And again, I just want to encourage you, keep holding to the Word of God. Keep reading this book, keep studying this book, get into this book, because it's a powerful, powerful book. And if you take the time, even this afternoon, and just to read this passage of Scripture, the whole 178-6 verses, I guarantee you it's going to leave you with an appreciation that, yeah, this book's important. This book is important. And so this morning, I thought I'd just share a few of the thoughts, some of the wonderful thoughts that we find here in this passage of Scripture instead of reading the whole thing to you. But as I said, read it. It is pretty cool. So I'm just going to refer to a few things, how we should get into this word, the Bible. And the first wonderful truth that I want to share with you from this passage is the importance of studying God's Word. It is expected of every believer to read, study, apply God's Word to their lives. Psalm 119, 15 to 16 says, I will study your commandments and reflect on your ways. I will delight in your decrees and not forget your Word. You know, we are to put some effort into reading and studying God's Word. It should be a joy to us. We should enjoy doing that. And there's so many good things in the Bible filled with truths that help us in every day of our lives. All the instructions we need for life, for eternity, they're found in the book. They're found in the book. And may I encourage you, if you're not already doing it, read your Bible. And as I say, read it, please read all of it. I know sometimes we get devotional books, which are good. I use those as well. And they'll refer to certain portions. But if that's all you're reading is just bits and pieces, there's a lot you're missing. And I really encourage you to, you know, there's lots of plans out there to read the Bible in a year. I would really encourage you to do that. Step out, read the Word of God. Get that word inside of you. The Bible says it's God breathed. It's inspired by Him. So you're not just reading a book. You're reading something that God has breathed upon that will bring life into your life. And so, again, very, very important to do that, to read the Word of God and read all of it. Also encourage you to pray as you read the Bible, asking God to breathe on those words that you're reading, that your eyes would be open to the truth God wants to show to you. And those revelations become wonderful truths to hold on to and apply. That's one of the prayers that you see here, Psalm 119, 18. Open my eyes to see the wonderful truths of your instructions. And how good that is, that as you read the Bible, things just jump off the page at you. Things just begin to speak into your heart and soul. And that's what happens when we start to read the Word of God. And so, good prayer to pray, Lord, open my eyes to the truth that you want me to see, that you want me to understand, that you want me to apply to my life today. I also like verse 13, where it talks about even reciting God's Word out loud. There's something about that sometimes, and especially you're going through trials or hardships. Read the Word of God out loud. It may not... You know, in a good place, obviously you may not want to disturb a whole bunch of people by doing that, but in your own quiet place, read it out. Or when you're in the car, read it out and declare those words out loud. And just something about doing that seems to get into the mind, gets into your heart and soul even that much better. Psalm 119, 13, I've recited aloud all the regulations you have given us. So you think if you would read Psalm 119, out loud, think if you read all of the commandments that are in the Bible, if you read all of them out loud. That would take some time. Then in verse 117, it talks about meditating on God's Word and the profitability of that. You know, take some time to think about God's Word. Mull it over. Meditate on it. Filling your mind with good things. You know, that's the, when it comes to meditation, there's a meditation that the world encourages, and that's a meditation where empty yourself, empty your mind. That's not biblical meditation. Biblical meditation is fill your mind. Fill your mind. Get the Word of God in there and begin to meditate on the Word of God, filling your mind with good things. Psalm 119, 117 says, sustain me, and I will be rescued, and I will meditate continually on all your decrees. So a daily meditation in biblical truth is a good thing. Should be done regularly. In fact, reading and studying God's Word should be a normal and consistent practice for every Christian. And again, that's taught throughout the entire Bible, that we're to get into the Word of God. And so as you study and meditate on God's Word, it also becomes a key to our success and even to our prosperity. We can think of Joshua. He was to follow Moses. Some really big shoes to fill. He wasn't really confident that he would be able to lead that nation. And so the Lord began to speak to him, be strong, be courageous. And then we have this verse, Joshua 1:8. It says, study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you'll be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. Sure tells us here in Scripture that the Bible is pretty important to us. If you want to succeed in life, get into the Word of God. Keep reading the Bible. Keep studying the Bible. Keep meditating on the words of the Bible. So some wonderful truth and nuggets from this Psalm 119 that encourages us to study God's Word. Then a second wonderful truth of God's Word is to follow it. You need to apply the Word and live it out. I remember in school that, and they were asking a question, has anyone read the Bible? And there was only two of us in that class that raised their hands and said, yeah, I read the Bible. And out of the two of us, there was only one that was applying it in their lives. The other person wasn't applying. They just read it for something to read. Well, it's more than something just to read. It's something that we read and we apply and we welcome that truth in our lives. You know, all the information you need in life, it's actually in the book. It really is. All the information we need to live a godly life, it's in the book. All the information that we need to know about what is right, what is wrong, it's in the book. And so we want to be encouraged. Read it, follow it, practice it, pay close attention to it. Psalm 119, 4 and 5 says, you have charged us to keep your commandments carefully. Oh, that my actions would consistently reflect your decrees. And so as you read that word of God, it's supposed to affect our lives. We're supposed to live differently because we're reading God's word. And you know, I know when it comes to lifestyle and our living our lives, being a Christian, you know, depends who you talk to, what a Christian really is. Well, what is a Christian? Read it in the book. That's what they will tell you the true things. And there you will find what's right to do, and you'll also find what's wrong to do. We also need to realize as you read the book that there will be a battle of our desires. Not only our own desires, but the desires of the world or our atmospheres of where we live and the people who surround us. So there's always that pull going both ways. We need to make sure that this is the strongest pull to the Word of God. Again, God's Word is there for us to help us in areas, even areas where we sin or we fall short. Psalm 119, 9 and 11, it says, how can a young person stay pure? By obeying your word. I've tried hard to find you. Don't let me wander from your commandments. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Are you battling with temptation? Are you battling with sin? Get into the word. Get into the word. It's the answer that you need. So God's word is very important for us to know, but it's also very important for us to follow through with it, to apply it in our lives and to begin to live it. And it'll save you from many sins. It'll save you from many dangers, from many wrong choices, compromises, mistakes. Literally, the Bible can save your very life. And that's how important it really is for us to heed the Word of God, to follow the Word of God, to follow what's written in its pages. And if you really want to follow the Lord in your life, then obviously you've got to follow His Word. Read it, study it, strive to obey it, memorize it. You know, get that Word inside of you that will help you to overcome the temptations and the trials of this Word. We need to realize that God's word stands supreme over everything. And, you know, even in Christian circles, and we have all these spiritual pedigrees and all these kinds of things that we think, this is spirituality, that's spirituality. You know, sometimes, well, you know, I had a dream, so I'm going to follow that dream. Or I had a vision, or the anointing, or angelic appearances, or prophecy, or what preachers say, or evangelists say. And, you know, lots of claims out there about Christianity, and a lot of them are great things, good things. But they got to measure up with this book. And even if we have a wonderful spiritual experience and it doesn't line up with this, then you need to set that aside, because this is the standard. This is the truth that we follow. Psalm 119, 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path." It's a standard for us to follow. It's sufficient to guide us through life and also through to eternity. It's filled with the best advice for us to follow. I like verse 73. It says, "You made me, you created me, now give me the sense to follow your commands." Common sense should tell us that if we really want to live the Christian life, that's the book to follow. And I know common sense is a big issue today. It seems that people have lost that. Well, Bible saying, you know what common sense is? If you're a Christian, common sense would say, you need to get into this book. Read this book, apply this book, follow this book. Then thirdly, in the wonderful truths of God's word, it's filled with wisdom and understanding that no other book can compare. It will open your mind to good judgment, to knowledge, and to discernment that we need. Verses 32, 34, it says, "I will pursue your commands, for you expand my understanding. Teach me your decrees, O Lord, and I will keep them to the end. Give me understanding, and I will obey your instructions. I will put them into practice with all my heart." And again, so as we pursue the word of God, it brings wisdom, it brings understanding, helps make plain the way that we should follow and how we should choose right from wrong. It helps us realize how we should act and how we should live. And it would be good for us to actually follow what the Bible says instead of, you know, what do other people say? What does the world say? What's the latest trend today? You need to stick with the book. Now, we all could use better judgment and understanding. And as we keep reading the word, you will find that. You will find guidance. You will find direction. You will find knowledge. You will find understanding that will help you make good choices. And God's word is filled with the wisdom we need. And in life, you know, you will battle with your own wisdom versus God's wisdom. You will battle with wisdom that's off the world, and you will battle with wisdom again that is off God. And we need to get back to the place where we hear, what does the Bible say? Because otherwise, we can be caught listening to a lot of other things that are going to draw us away from God instead of to God. When you read this book, it draws you to God. It doesn't draw you away from God. And that should be helping us as we think about reading things. Make sure you read stuff that draws you to God and not away from God. So reading and studying God's word will keep us from deception. It will cause us to be wise to temptations and to all of the devil's schemes and his devices that are out there as we get the word of God inside of us. Psalm 119, 98, verse 98. "Your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are my constant guide. Yes, I have more insight than my teachers, for I'm always thinking of your laws. I'm even wiser than my elders, for I've kept your commandments. Your commandments give me understanding. No wonder I hate every false way in life." There's a lot of falsehood out in our world today. There's a lot of deception that is out there in our world today. And if you don't know what's in the book, man, yeah, you're headed for trouble. You're headed for danger. And so, again, get into the Word of God. It's filled with the wisdom that you need. It's filled where you can make just judgments. It is filled with understanding. It's filled with discernment that's going to help you to think and do that which is right and that which is good for us. And so if you're struggling out there with some of life's choices, or sometimes you wonder, well, why is it this way? Why is that happening? Or maybe you're just needing some wisdom over a certain situation that you're into. Let me tell you, read the Word. Check out the Bible. It's amazing that as you read this, you'll find the answer to the very things, or the questions that you're asking about God. So God's Word is wisdom. Wisdom from above. Wisdom that you can count on. Wisdom that you can hold on to. James 3:17 says, but the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It's also peace-loving. It's gentle at all times. It's willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism, and it's always sincere. So that's the wisdom we need. You get the wisdom by staying with the Word of God. And then a fourth wonderful truth of God's Word is that it is true. It's real. It's free of falsehood. In fact, it's called the very Word of truth, just as it's referred to here in the Scriptures, Psalm 119:43. Do not snatch your word of truth from me, for your regulations are my only hope. You know, there's a lot of people looking for truth today, and sadly, a lot of people are looking in wrong places. And we have a society today that doesn't mind putting lies out there. Social media is full of lies. You really got to be careful as you're on. There's a lot of good things in there too, but there's a lot of lies in there. And one of the things that's really discouraging is that you do see that people will rather believe a lie than believe the truth. You'll see them argue and argue and argue over a lie, and yet the truth's right in front of them. So that's our society today. And if you're wanting to know the truth, look to the Word of truth and the message of truth that you will find in God's Word. You know, just in this chapter alone, there's a lot of references that God's Word is true, can be trusted. And just to mention a few of them, verse 91, your regulations remain true to this day, for everything serves your plans. Verse 138, your laws are perfect and completely trustworthy. Verse 160, the very essence of your words is truth. All your just regulations will stand forever. And so the psalmist realized the truth of God's word. He didn't have to look anywhere else because he knew that this is the word of truth. You can count on this book. Now we can go into all the things, the apologetics of how important this book is, all the things behind this book, why you can believe this is a book that is still proven true to this very day. There's more evidence on this book than on any other book in the world. And I know it gets attacked and we hear lots of lies about this book. Again, check your sources. People aren't educated in certain areas, but they're voicing their opinions and they have no idea what they're talking about. The most proven book in all of history. So God's word is truth. If you want truth, look to the word of God, the Bible. The words here are trustworthy, they are true, even perfect, offering us true wisdom and guidance for life. Apostle Paul, as he was speaking to young Timothy in ministry, he says this word in verses 16 and 70 of chapter 3 of 2 Timothy. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what's wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. That's all in the book. That's all in the book. God inspired this book, the Bible. It's God breathed. He breathed on it. And his signature is all over it from cover to cover. We need to believe it. We need to read it, study it, practice it, for it is the word of truth. And then lastly for today, and the wonderful truths of the Bible found here in Psalm 119, we have the encouragement of God's word. This book is filled with encouragement to all who will read it and apply it to their lives. You will find encouragement in whatever circumstance that you might find yourself in as you start reading the scriptures. Man, it's amazing how you can find verses that will speak to your very need and situation. Psalm 119:28 says, I weep with sorrow. Encourage me by your word. Now, there's more things than sorrow that we go through, but sometimes life can be difficult. Sometimes life can be hard. Sometimes there's disappointment that we face. Sometimes there's sorrow. Sometimes there's grief. Sometimes there's sickness or just a difficult time that we're going through. But let me tell you, as you read this book, you're going to find encouragement. You're going to find it's going to lift you up. It's going to pick you up, you know, out of that mire and out of that mud again, and that, you know, give you a hope again, give you encouragement. Look to the book. God's word can comfort us in ways that we've never expected. Psalm 119:50 says, "Your promise revives me." I like that. It revives us. You know, we can get really down in our faith and down in ourselves. You start reading this book, all of a sudden it gives you hope. It's reviving your spirit, giving light to yourselves. It comforts me in all my troubles, it says. Verse 173 says, "Give me a helping hand, for I've chosen to follow your commandments." You want help? It's in the book. It's in the book. So there's encouragement for whatever your situation might be in God's word. Allow the word of God to guide you, to lead you, to comfort you, help you where you may be lifted up and be encouraged. There's encouragement all through this book. And I want to encourage you to read the book. I like the testimony of Psalm 40, where the psalmist testifies of just how, you know, getting into the word, getting into God, how it can help you. It says in Psalm 41:3, "I waited patiently for the Lord to help me, and he turned to me, and he heard my cry. He lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mire, mud in the mire. He set my feet on solid ground and steadied me as I walked along. He's given me a new song to sing, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see what he has done and be amazed. They will put their trust in the Lord." That could be your testimony too. That can be your testimony. As you get into the word of God, and all of a sudden you're going to start seeing some things change. And then as you look to him, you're going to hear that God, you know what? I know I'm going to look to him because he hears people's cries. He lifts people out of despair. He lifts people out of the mud and the mire. He puts us on solid ground again. He gives us a new song to sing when we're so depressed and so down that we can't think of anything. Get into his word and a new song starts to arise within you. There's encouragement in the word of God. Get into the Bible. And so this morning, just from reading that text this week, just encourage me again of how important this book is, to keep reading this book. And as Christians here today, we especially need to hold on to this book. Don't neglect it. Make sure it's the book that you read the most. You know, there's a lot of good books out there to be reading. Sometimes we get caught up reading even Christian books, and we read so much of that, and then we hardly spend any time at all reading this book. I remember when, actually even this church here, they had a little survey for me to do before I came here. And one of the questions was, "What book have you been reading?" And I kind of just got a little nasty response. Said, "I've been reading the Bible is the book I've been reading." But we really need to do that. This is the book that we need to keep reading the most. It's better than any other book that's out there, any other bestseller out there. This is the book we need to read. We need to study. We need to hold on to. We need to get it into our hearts and our minds, memorizing it, reciting it, doing all those things, because it's a book that brings us life. It's a book that will guide us right through life and right into eternity. And so this morning, that's all I felt to do today, was just encourage you in the Word of God. Hold on to that Bible. Keep reading that Bible and see what God will do. The answers you need are in this book. I encourage you to read this book.